Sarada Murciano with you today, and we have the top 10 ways to stay happy and healthy this winter, and some of them may surprise you. This list, courtesy of Mr. Integrated Holistic Health, Dr. Peter Van Huel.
I think he's really a holistic doctor, right?
Yes. Yeah. And a mister.
And a mister, right?
And the first thing he did today when he came in here is he took a look at what I thought was a very healthy lunch. I have this Greek non-fat strained yogurt, plain, 100% natural, milk from cows.
That's the problem, I think.
And you were shaking your head. What's wrong with this?
Well, it's the part of the, what is it, number two on the list or number nine, avoid salads and ice water, which is basically that you don't want to be eating foods that are cooling your body down. And so, yes, there's
this
a lot of...
This time of year, you mean?
Especially this time of year. Yeah, summertime when it's hot, you want to have cold salads. You want to have foods that will cool the body down. But if you start your morning off with a cold yogurt, which is, you know, there's lots of other reasons why it's not so great for you, in my opinion, but it cools the body down. Actually, if you go to India and eat hot, spicy food, they'll bring you a bowl of yogurt to cool your body
down. So tomorrow when the weather changes and we're going to get the cold wave, don't have cold foods.
Right. Have hot oatmeal.
All right. And that was on the list here, how to stay happy and healthy this winter. Avoid salads and ice water.
How does that make you happy, though?
Well, it'll make you happy because you'll stay healthy.
Yes.
Okay.
But the thing is, so, you know, think about ice water. I mean, everybody walks in somewhere, they go, oh, gosh, it's so cold out, the typical Chicago winter, and the first thing they bring you is a bucket of ice water. It cools your body down. Now your body has to rally and get resources from your body to warm your body up. Those are resources that could otherwise be spent dealing with stress.
Are they calories?
Sorry.
You burning calories? Because
no.
Then I'm going to be walking around drinking ice water.
No, you're not burning calories. You're exhausting your adrenal glands, but you're not burning calories. No.
All right, let's continue on this
list. I'm going to stop it then with these shakes that I take every morning. They're made with ice, basically.
You know what? You can put the same thing in your shakes and warm it up and have soup. It's called soup, you know, green veggies.
Chocolate?
No, well.
Marian,
hot chocolate.
Hot, there you go.
Yeah.
Your Miami blood is a problem all winter, so listen to Dr. Van Huel.
Also, on the list here, we
can't ask so many questions about everything on the list, or we won't have time to get through the list.
We'll have time. We're going to have time. Wait, before we move on, every night, for some reason, I have been craving, like, soda water, bubbly water, like Perrier.
Yeah.
And that's bad for you, I'm sure, because you're looking at me like
maybe
I'm...
Maybe Bob forgot to burp you. I don't know.
Every night, though, I've been craving it. And I keep thinking, I shouldn't be drinking something cold. It's cold outside.
Is there anything wrong with bubbly water, bubbly water?
It's not the best thing to have with meals because it pushes everything upward, you know. But, yeah, otherwise, in between, that's fine.
Also on your list,
all right.
Take vitamin D. And you've talked about this before, although there was a report in the news yesterday about a randomized placebo-controlled trial that found vitamin D and calcium, whatever their other benefits may be, have no effect on upper respiratory tract infections, according to this one study.
Right. Well, it's true that when you are sick, you shouldn't necessarily take more D, but ideally you want to have enough vitamin D in your system to make sure that your immune system is functioning optimally. But again, I guess the thing about vitamin D, vitamin C, and lots of these substances, zinc, it's not that you'll necessarily get sick if you have a deficiency. It's just that your body will just fight things off better when you have enough of it.
But what Western doctors say is the right amount of vitamin D to have in your system is different from what you would say, right?
Well, but that goes back to what the minimum amount is. So, for example, vitamin C, the minimum amount should be 30 milligrams. Well, that's just enough so you wouldn't get scurvy. But you want a little more in your body than just that. You want enough to... vitamin C is important for all kinds of functions. So the same thing with vitamin D. Ideally, you want to have it between 50 and 70 so that your body, you know, it's important for your bones, for hormones, for all
kinds
of functions.
The vitamin D pills, gel caps that we have at home, they're 4,000.
Yeah.
They're not
right.
50 to 70. I mean,
No. Your blood levels should be between 50 and 70.
Oh.
Yeah, the blood levels.
So
when you go to the store, you want to get... 2,000 or 5,000, depending on whether you're just maintaining good levels between 50 and 70 or whether you're trying to increase those
levels. I see. Okay.
Next on the list, let's see here.
Number 8.
Surround yourself with laughter.
Well, that's why Dr. Oz thinks this show is good for your health, right?
I think you heard about that, huh?
Yeah. did you see that on Twitter? You did not.
I remember
as a kid, my mom reading this book by Dr. Norman Cousins, who was famous for, well, he had all kinds of health problems and claims he was cured by watching comedies in the hospital. Yeah. But there is something to that, isn't
there? Well, it's like Robin Williams played him. You know, the doctor who was pediatrician and...
Adams?
Yeah, Patch Adams, right.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
Patch
and
Adams.
We know that laughter increases serotonin, increases dopamine, all these neurotransmitters that, you know, otherwise when they're deficient can make you feel depressed and things like that. So definitely it upregulates your cytokines, your immune system is more active.
But if you're, like, not in the right state of mind, you don't think things are funny.
Well, really? I doubt that.
Well, it's just harder. Yeah. It's harder to entertain.
Like, if I'm mad at Bob and he's really funny,
right?
I can't laugh.
Okay, but so then then you need to look at that and say, okay, well, gee, I could be laughing. If I really wanted to, I could just right now just change my mind and say, how about if I just laugh at this?
Yeah, let yourself go. Okay. Listen to Dr. Van Uyl.
I'm not mad at him, but sometimes
am I funny like a clown?
Because think about it. When you're not feeling, you know, when you feel that way, you're not really feeling good. And meanwhile, the other person maybe doesn't even realize that you're mad at them, and they're feeling fine. You know, they go off and do their business. So ultimately, you're punishing yourself.
That's true. Except that in our case, he knows when I'm mad.
And sometimes that prevents me from trying to perform, and comedically it affects my act.
Uh-oh.
Because she's a tough audience. Next on the list, come in for a tune-up before you get run down. Well, you're talking about preventative medicine.
You skipped.
Yes. Oh, I skipped one. We'll get back to that, but let's talk about getting a tune-up.
Come in for a tune-up before you get run down.
Right.
That's what you mean, like with you or with any doctor?
Yes, I guess I would say, you know, somebody like me, because I guess supposedly, you know, I mean, technically, if you go to a regular Western physician, you know, as long as your blood pressure is okay, your cholesterol is all right, and most of the things they check for, they'll say you're fine. But in integrative medicine, I think we just spend a little more time in asking a little more questions, and all of a sudden you find out people say, oh, well, by the way, I was on antibiotics 2 weeks ago, or I fell a couple of weeks ago, and this and that. And you find that certain things are off, which are compromising, again, your optimal function. It's kind of like having a car, and does the car drive? Yes. But how well is it driving? Maybe the brakes are a little off, the alignment's a little off, the oil really could use replacing. So before you're going to go on a trip, you'd want to do all
well,
that.
Even in Western medicine, there's more of an emphasis on wellness, as they say
fixing what's wrong.
The emphasis there is more on illness, whereas our emphasis is on wellness.
Yeah, although it's wellness is creeping into more Western medicine, isn't it? A little bit.
They're trying to indeed reevaluate what does it mean to be healthy rather than to just make that be an absence of disease.
One thing that I love about listening to, you know, what you say about this stuff is that people will without even meaning to, they'll eventually tell you what really is the problem.
I do truly believe that if you listen long enough and ask the right questions, the person will tell you what's wrong with them.
We'll get more of Dr. Peter Van Uyl's top 10 ways to stay happy and healthy this winter right after these. Continuing with another one of our holistic visits with Dr. Peter Van Uyl, and we're talking about his list of ways to stay happy and healthy this winter. And on the list here is add herbs and spices to your food. Well, it's a tasty suggestion, isn't it?
Well, so there, part of it is, again, kind of spicing up your life, so to speak, in terms of, you know, being happy. And people often get a little bored with saying, oh, first of all, my vegetables, they don't have any flavor, or, you know, the foods, it's always the same. And the thing is, you can make, you know, there's a thousand ways to make chicken, you know. So if you just, but the other part of it is that if you add certain herbs and spices, again, to warm the body up, you know, the classic winter spices, nutmegs, cinnamons, cardamoms, they are warming to the body.
Not salt, though.
Well, salt is not necessarily warming or cooling, and salt has other properties.
Do you like salt? Should we use Himalayan salt, for example?
Well, if you don't eat out a lot or don't eat processed food, you do need some salt in your cooking and in your food.
But we all go to a restaurant and get way too much salt with one meal, don't
we? So you're getting plenty.
Now, you have something on the list here that I've never heard of, and you say take a dose of this every week for cold prevention.
Astragalus.
Yes.
What is that?
Yeah. So astragalus is one of these herbs that both has the ability to upregulate the immune system and also is what we call an adaptogen. So it helps our adrenal glands to be more adaptable. So our adrenal glands help us to adapt to weather change, barometric pressure changes, to changes in our environment of all kinds, including stress, because they produce cortisol, adrenaline. So when your adrenal glands are in a better shape, you're more likely to be able to deal with the boss yelling at you or the temperature going down quickly. And so, speaking of which, since we did have a caller or somebody about the temperature being inside, I know people say, well, it's 72 in my house. I get in the car in the garage. I drive to work in the garage and I get to my office and it's 72. Why should I be concerned? Because
why should I be concerned about having warm things?
Right. So because basically we are still influenced by the barometric pressure changes. Our circadian rhythms are influenced by the sun going down earlier, having shorter days, et cetera. So it's not just the temperature around you.
Inside the house.
Okay. This astragalus, is that easily available?
The astragalus is an herb that you want to get as a tincture. As a liquid, and just take you follow the directions.
Where do you get that?
Any health food store.
Astragalus.
Correct.
And it's spelled just the way it sounds.
Astragalus, yes.
Feed your kids a hot breakfast or at least a hot beverage. Well, this speaks to your point about what to put in our bodies in the wintertime.
Right. Because, the kids, they don't want to put on their coats and they're playing outside and this and that. Hopefully they haven't just washed their hair and going outside with wet hair. And there's all kinds of theories about that. But basically, the simple thing is that exposure to cold is going to cool down your blood vessels and your body's going to have to try to warm them up, right, which is loss of resources.
For various reasons, forget the cold cereal. Okay. Number three on your list, try to go out for a walk every day. Well, I think we're pretty well aware of the benefits of even minimum exercise, correct?
Well, it's not just the exercise, but actually walking specifically is the contralateral motion of walking, putting your right foot forward and your left arm forward and then the opposite, is also actually very beneficial for the brain and helping the right and left brain integrity. So it helps with memory, besides the fresh air, besides the sunlight, and kind of being in touch with what's happening outside there, and it adds perspective too.
I like that one. Take time to smell your food. Is that so you slow down while you're
eating?
It's
slowing down. It's stimulating the appetite and the satiation centers. You know how when you've been in the kitchen for an hour and a half cooking food, you're not hungry anymore? It's because you've been smelling this food and your brain is already kind of thinking, okay, I've had a lot of this already. So part of it is helping that satiation. Part of it is stimulating your appetite actually in a different way, but also getting your digestive system ready for what's coming.
And part of what you've told me in the past has been that it's very important to touch your food, chop it up if you can, actually fix it, make soups. Why do you say that?
Well, it's about really using all your senses with your food. The smell, the eyes. I'll often, people who have kids with picky eaters, I'll tell them to play a game where they put on a little blindfold and put food on their tongue so they can learn to really get connected to the tastes of food. And when you chew it, the tastes change. Think of the difference in the taste between a raw carrot and a cooked carrot. It smells differently. It tastes differently. So it's all about getting all the senses involved.
And your number one point here for staying happy and healthy this winter, be grateful for what is. Focus your attention on what you want, not on what you don't want. Well, this really is a holistic approach to it, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite quotes by Dr. Christian Northrup, who's a well-known author, MD, OB-GYN, she says, illness is the only accepted form of meditation in Western culture. And so what she means by that is that it's kind of like it's not acceptable to just kind of sit back and reflect or even be sad for that matter about the losses you've had in a day or over a year. And so you have to kind of be sick in order to be able to say, well, I have to stay in bed and get rest. And that's the only way you can really allow yourself to kind of reflect back on things. And so I think just kind of reflecting on what we have. You know, people say, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to make the beds, I have to make food. You don't have to do any of these things. You don't have to take your kids to school in the morning, but hopefully you want to. And if it's also, but, you know, if you start using different words, you know, you want to make your bread so it feels nice to get in it in the morning. You want to make food because it tastes good.
Yeah. Right. You know, when I think about this, when you're sick, when you're laid up with a cold or something, and then, you know, that great feeling you have when it goes and you're healthy again, and then you really appreciate the fact that you're healthy and you're not sick. But normally you don't think about that. You're not grateful.
Take it for granted.
Yeah, exactly.
And
That's a great point.
A lot of times also when I'm stressed out, I feel that if I get sick, it's my first excuse to be able to, like, just have a great excuse to not do anything.
And think about that.
And
you don't want to have that as an excuse.
No.
Because that could, you know, I mean, how long do you want to be laid up for? You know, once your body gets into that state, it gets out of control sometimes.
Let me get your final quick take on the headline today. CDC urges caution on antibiotics. New guidelines for children say use only for bacterial infections. You've been saying this for a long time, haven't you?
Yes. Well, most of the antibiotics that are produced in this country are used in the feedstock and in vaccinating, I mean, injecting in cows and animals. But for children, a lot of times ear infections, sinus infections, all these kinds of things can be fungal infections. They could be just congestion. And a lot of it is not bacterial. And so there's lots of other things that can be done before resorting to an antibiotic, because indeed they are overprescribed.
Check with your local holistic expert, Dr. Peter Van Uyl. Thanks for the lunch today, by the
way.
Thank
you.
You're welcome.
And I'll give away my Greek yogurt to somebody on our contest line.